Hello.
It is fair. This is Martin on a recorded line. Hi, Mr. Call. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Yeah, sorry about that. All right. So, yeah, would you like to go ahead and pick up where we left off there?
Yeah, let's just finish.
Okay, good, good. So let's see. Go ahead and find out where we were. All right. Let me see. Sorry. Okay. So I think the last thing that we were talking about was, okay, so you did purchase it from a store, not from any, incorporated place or, anything like that. And then it was Home Depot Ace Hardware. And then, you know, when y'all were spraying it at your house, I think you said it was from like the 1990s to 2022 is when you'd bought it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you bought it select years, right? Sometimes not. Sometimes you did. Okay. And then for instead of putting 90s to 2022, would you say it was somewhere around like 1992, or can we just put kind of a guess on the year?
No, I'd say 1991.
1991, perfect. Yeah, thank you. I hate to keep doing that, but I appreciate you being a good sport about that. Okay. And then it's okay if you don't, but do you have any receipts for your Roundup purchases?
No, I don't.
All right. Seldom people do. And then do you have any Roundup in your possession still?
No.
Okay. And that's okay. And then did your husband ever smoke?
No.
Okay. And then is he currently employed?
No. Disabled.
Okay. Okay. And then so that means he wouldn't have lost I'll ask it as it says it. Has he lost any time from work because of surgery or treatment related to his condition?
Well, yeah, when he was younger, he used to miss a lot of
yes.
work, so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then this one might, this one almost seems impossible to answer, but we'll just do our best. It says yes. If he has provided the dates that he was not able to work. So I would say we could just kind of go to the years, you know, that happened maybe when he was diagnosed. So probably in like 2012, was he working?
No, in the 80s is when he quit working.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll put various times in the 1980s. You know, actually, we'll go ahead and leave that out just because that was, we're going to be counting the times from pretty much 2012 on, from his
okay.
most recent occurrence, okay?
Okay.
All right, and then was he ever in the military?
No.
Okay. One sec. All right. And then has he been involved in any other lawsuits?
No. Never.
Okay. And then has he ever filed disability or workers' compensation?
Like disability through SSI?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets that. Yeah, that's what he gets.
Okay. And then what was the claim regarding?
Of his cancer.
Okay. All right, and that'd be due to his actually various cancer diagnoses, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And give me one moment, sorry, so I could articulate this the way the attorneys would like. Thank you. Okay, so based off his cancer diagnosis, we'll go ahead and phrase it like that. Okay, granted disability benefits based off his cancer diagnosis, okay?
Yeah.
Has he ever filed for bankruptcy?
Never.
Never, okay, good. Other than minor traffic offenses, has he been convicted of any crime?
No.
No, okay. All right, and then for the diagnosis, in his most recent diagnosis, what was the name of his physician?
For this recent one, for which one?
Yeah, for the most recent one.
Okay, his name is Dr. Jeffrey Mattis, Colorado Blood Cancer Institute.
Okay.
And you could get all the records from them.
Okay.
He's got books. He got the library there, my husband.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so definitely, so when we ask the question, I'll just get it out of the way right now, which is, and this applies to even them just existing, right? Sorry. Oh, yeah, do you have a medical record that indicates a cancer diagnosis and type?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He goes to CBCI. It's Colorado Blood Cancer Institute. That's where he
okay.
goes.
Yeah, over there on 19th Avenue.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Denver. Got you. Thank you. And I'm just going to go ahead and fill that in. I did find them. That's why I'm a little quiet and filling this in right now. And that's Jeffrey Mattous, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jeffrey V. Mattous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's quite an accomplished man, actually, from what I see here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the address, could we use the one for the Colorado Blood Cancer Institute? That's okay to use?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Do you have a better phone number than this, or should I just use the one on the website, 720-754-4800?
Yeah, that one's good.
That one's good? Okay. All right. And then this next question is a pretty open-ended question, kind of gives you an opportunity to just state this in your own way, but how has the diagnosis of lymphoma impacted your husband's life?
No, it's impacted it. Oh, like, what do you mean, like?
Yeah. It's very open-ended, but I can give you an example that to kind of help you along there.
He's gone through a lot of testing. He's gone through a lot of, like, studies. He's gone through a lot. So he, with all the treatments, all the studies, everything that he's gone through, he has all kinds of other side effects. Like neuropathy, he has neuropathy really bad in his feet. He has a hard time walking. So that's due to lymphoma, to the cancer. You know, and then his kidney that he's messed up now, that's due to lymphoma. You know, he's had a lot of side effects now. He's had through the years.
Oh, wow. His kidneys. And was that, sorry, I apologize, was it kidney disease that he got?
Yeah, he has kidney disease right now.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. That's hard to hear. Okay. And then we'll kind of go into the also how it affected his life in a way, because that is definitely what they're looking for. And then beyond that, it also, you know, impacted his time, you know, with his family, work, you know, it affects every part of his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. It affected his ability to work.
Yes.
And and spend what, and you know, and spend quality time with family and friends in the same way?
No, he just keeps himself. He doesn't. We don't go to family function. We don't do too much because he gets tired. I know it has impacted his life a lot. He has slowed down socially, mobility, everything.
And has less energy. Okay. We'll say he has a lot less energy. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? And I think that's a, you know, it's a good start. You know, the attorneys, I'm sure they're going to be you're probably going to be a lot more comfortable talking to them and kind of, you know, I'm sure they could elaborate a little bit more. So let me go ahead and kind of articulate this a little bit better. One second. Okay, I'm going to read this to you just to get your blessing on it and make sure it's actually what, you know, what represents your husband's experience here. So it says, lymphoma has significantly impacted the individual's life through extensive medical testing, studies, and treatments. The condition has resulted in notable side effects, including neuropathy in the feet and kidney disease. These health challenges have impaired his ability to work and engage in meaningful activities with his family and friends. Additionally, he experiences persistent fatigue and reduced energy levels, further affecting his daily functioning and quality of life.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this cancer he has really affected his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sad to hear. Okay. Okay, and then for medical treatment, right, because we were talking about the diagnostics earlier just to kind of separate that. So where was he getting treated? Is it in the same place?
He was getting his first treatments were coming from Rocky Mountain Cancer Center.
Okay.
And then when he had to have a bone marrow treatment, that's when he got switched over to CBCI.
Okay.
He had to have a bone marrow transplant in July 3rd. Of 2001.
Okay.
Because his cancer was so bad.
All right. So let's go ahead and put the for treatment. I know there's more than one, but we'll just go with one of them for now, since we already listed the other two. So I'm sure they'll pull medical records already from the other.
Yeah.
From the CBCI, Colorado Blood Cancer Institute.
Yeah.
And
CBCI
so,
will have a lot of his records.
Yeah, and so then we'll go ahead and put this for medical treatment, and then that way we have a little bit of both. This is in Boulder. Is that in Boulder, Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers?
No, Rocky Mountain Cancer Center is on 19th and Williams.
Sorry, okay.
Denver.
Denver, yeah. Let's see. Is it, sorry, I know you just said it. Was it, I see one that's 1800 North Williams Street.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
That's the one? Okay, 1800 North Williams Street.
Yeah.
And that one is Denver Midtown. That's what it's called. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What doctor has been treating him there?
He was seen by two doctors there. One is Dr. Fink, but he is retired.
Okay.
And the other one would be Dr. Henshaw. And when Dr. Henshaw was treating him there, that's when he had to be transferred over for a bone marrow transplant, and that's when Dr. Mattis took over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he has gone through a lot of different doctors within these years of his life because he's had so many different problems, and he's always had to have different doctors for something.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Rocky Mountain Cancer Center's Denver Midtown, doctor name, Iona M. Henshaw, right?
Yes, uh-huh, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then when was his, I would say when was his most recent treatment?
Like, what do you mean, like his last treatment?
Yeah, you can interpret that in whatever way you feel. You know, was his... So, yeah, when was his most recent treatment for his cancer, for his lymphoma?
Well, I'd say in January of 2021.
Okay. It was in the beginning or end of January? Just so I could get... I'm going to guess a date, you
the
know.
It was the beginning of January.
Okay, we'll just say January 1st, 2021, and it'll be close, okay?
Yeah.
All right, and then... But, and then, by the way, so it asks their hospital name and healthcare facility because sometimes within a hospital, they actually have a specific cancer treatment facility. Was that the way that this was too, or was it all just Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers? It's a standalone hospital and facility.
Rocky Mountain Cancer Center, and then we were switched over to CBCI, and that is that in Presbyterian Hospital.
Okay, CBCI was in the Presbyterian Hospital?
CBCI is in Presbyterian Hospital.
Was that the most recent one?
Yeah, that's where his last treatment was done, with that Rocky Mountain Cancer Center.
Okay. So, well, you know what, I'll just, and that's a standalone one, right? So we'll go ahead and put that for a healthcare facility as well.
Okay.
So I know sometimes it's a little confusing, but... I just wanted to make sure that, you know, there wasn't like a built, there's like a treatment center inside of a, you know, facility. So I'll go ahead and just put the same for both. I know that confuses a lot of people. So I just wanted to let you know there what I was doing. Okay. And then, and was there a specific practice name, or we're just going to keep that under Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers?
Rocky Mountain Cancer Center.
Okay. All right. Thank you for bearing with me there. And then, and sorry if you already answered this, but it is asking, so what type of treatment did he receive for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? And more than one could apply, right? You know, like stem cell transplant, chemo, radiation.
Okay, he's had chemo. He's had radiation. He has stem cell transplant. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of studies, a lot of studies he's had.
Okay. And then for his secondary diagnosis there, did they, was it all the same treatments or different, or are we just kind of grouping all those up?
He had to have radiation and chemotherapy for that one.
Okay, thank you. And we are just about at the end of the intake here, so I appreciate you being patient. I'm going to read you a quick script here, and then we're going to go ahead and I'm going to make sure everything is right. I'll just read everything from the top to bottom, stop every few questions just to make sure that they're right. So we request an emergency contact number in case something unfortunate happens to you, ensuring that we can continue your case for your loved ones. Typically, we only contact your emergency contact if we're unable to reach you for an extended period. This precaution helps prevent disruptions in your case, and we found it necessary in the unfortunate instances where clients have become unresponsive. And then for the emergency contact, who would you like to put? Or you could even put yourself there.
You could just put me.
All right. Second. All right. And then obviously we do have permission to contact you, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. Relationship, wife. Okay. And then did you want to list a different number for your husband's number, or are we going to try to keep everything on this number?
No, just keep everything on this number.
Okay. Awesome. And then I'm just going to go ahead and just let my supervisor know that, just since we're doing something a little bit different. Do you mind if I just put you on hold for a few seconds there?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, I'll be right back, though. I'll try to be courteous of your time.
Okay.
All right, I'm back with you.
Okay.
All right. And so I'm going to help you navigate this. And at the end of the day, this is all 100% your choice. The suggestion was maybe if your husband has a different number, put that as just the main contact and you as the secondary contact, assuming you're probably already with him most of the time. That way, if they have a quick question or something, it might just be more pragmatic to be able to ask him something real quick. However, I know that you run things pretty well, so I'm not going to take anything away from you. So whatever you like, is there a way we could put his number as a primary? Or did you want to just keep it on?
He doesn't have a phone, so it's just fine.
Oh, okay, well, that answers that question. No big deal. And then give me one second. And then I'll just run through everything. And then did you want to put a different emergency contact, or do you want to just keep it uniform there?
No.
Okay.
Just keep mine.
Okay, no big deal. Just wanted to make sure. All right, and then I'm going to run through everything real quickly. Just starting from the top, make sure I represented you correctly here. All right. And do you know anyone else that's used Roundup and ended up getting sick like this?
No, not that I know of.
Absolutely. You don't want your loved ones going through that anyway. So I appreciate you answering that. I'm going to go ahead and start from the top. I always like to remind you on a recorded line here. And then first thing that I asked is, would you like to see if you meet the criteria to participate? You said yes. Have you found an attorney? Mm-hmm. No. Have you signed anything with an attorney electronically or in a packet, physically? No. And then your husband was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after spring Roundup, post-2005, separate question than all the details. And then when did he receive a diagnosis? And then the estimated for the most recent reoccurrence was about March 1st, 2012. Okay. Give me one moment. Okay, and then he was about 50. He was within the margins of 50 to 79 years old when he was diagnosed. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then it asked, do you spray Roundup 20 years within the initial diagnosis? Yes. Had he sprayed for a minimum of 2 years? Yes. How many years had he sprayed Roundup, and it was five, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then did he spray Roundup at least 10 days or more? Yes. How many hours? About 20 hours altogether. And then how long did he spray Roundup before diagnosis? At least a year. All that's correct?
Yes.
I know it could be more detailed than that. But just for now. Okay, perfect. Okay, and then approximately, when did he stop spring roundup? About July 1st of 2022. How was he exposed directly, as in he sprayed it himself? What was the exposure? It was residential. He is a citizen of the United States, and all that's correct so far. Okay. He did have another non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis, which is follicular lymphoma. The date of the secondary diagnosis was about October 1st of 2010. And then he is filing this claim on behalf of himself, and all that's correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then no colleagues or anyone else, sprayed Roundup and ended up getting sick?
No.
And then we did go over the illnesses. I'm just going to run through them real quick. HIV, no. Autoimmune, yes. Hepatitis C, no. Arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, yes. Diabetes, no. Cancer, no. That's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then the family history of cancer, no. Organ transplant, no. Hepatitis B, no. Epstein-Barr, no. Lupus, no. And then his first name is spelled N-O-R-B-E-R-T-O, last name O-L-M-O-S, Jr., and all that's correct?
Yes.
All right. He is a male. He's married to you. His last four of his social is 4382. His date of birth is March 30th, 1962. His current age is 63, and all that's right?
Yes,
All right. And then how did he first learn of a connection between Roundup and cancer? Was television ad. Became aware of his injuries related to the Roundup about July 1st of 2022. And then his height, 5'2". Okay.
Yes.
And then weight, about 234 pounds. Phone we're speaking on is a smartphone. And then the email address or contact is going to be Sarah, S-A-R-A, almost, O-L-M-O-S, 68 at gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Phone number, 720-317-8572. That's a mobile number. Spouse's name, that's you, Sarah Olmos. Spouse's number, 720-317-8572. Do you have any official docs showing your power of attorney? No. Okay, and all that's right so far, right?
Yes.
All
your
right.
Email. What email do you have?
Oh, you know what? SarahOlmos68 at gmail.com.
Yes, yes, that's it.
Okay, perfect. How many times a year was the Roundup used for? When did he start spraying Roundup? About May 1st, 1972. And then did he use any protective gear? No. And then that was a residential area, fence lane, cracks of pavement along the house. It's about 5,880 square foot lot is where you are right now, okay?
Yes.
All right. The state, Colorado. He was directly exposed in a residential setting. And then did he personally spray Roundup? Yes. All that's correct?
Yes.
All right. How often was he present during the application? Every time. How many exposures of Roundup did he have in his lifetime? About 50. Do you get your water from a well? No. Has he been exposed to other types of herbicides? No. Has he been exposed to benzene or Agent Orange? No. And then what type of Roundup was used? And that was premix. Okay, all that's good?
Yes.
Okay, good. Purchase Roundup from a company that's either incorporated or has a principal place of business in the same state as the plaintiff? No. And then when and where was the Roundup purchased? Home Depot, Ace Hardware from 1991 to 2022. Okay.
Yes.
And then, do you have receipts? No. Do you have Roundup in your possession? No. And that's okay. Has he ever smoked? No. Is he currently employed? No. Has he lost any time from work because of surgery or treatment related to the condition? Not since the 2012 one, so we'll mark no. Has he been in the military? No. Has he been involved with any of the lawsuits? No. Has he ever filed disability or workers' compensation? Yes. And then for the disability details, he was granted disability benefits based off of his cancer diagnosis. Yes. And then has he ever filed for bankruptcy? No. Other than minor traffic offenses, convicted of a crime? No. Physician name? Jeffrey Mattous. And that's Jeffrey Mattous. Address 1721 East 19th Avenue, Suite 100 in Denver, Colorado. Diagnosing physician's phone number is 720-754-4800. And then...
Yes.
Okay. And then the diagnosis impact of life, you know, I read that to you, so we'll go ahead and assume that that's good. do you have a medical record that indicates a cancer type and diagnosis? Yes. Hospital name, Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers in Denver, Midtown, I think. There we go, yeah. Iona M. Henshaw is his doctor there. Date treated last was about January 1st, 2021. And then,
yeah, January 3rd, 2021, yeah.
January 3rd? Wow, thank you for the specificity. That's good. All right, and then... give me one second. And then, pardon me, I'm going to be a little quiet for a second.
Okay.
All right. And then I'm going to pick up where I left off. Sorry about that. So same hospital name, healthcare facility, and, you know, oncology practice name. We're just going to keep all that at Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers, Denver Midtown, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes they're different. Sometimes they're not. So we'll just be a little repetitive there. And then January 3rd, 2021, we'll keep that date uniform for healthcare, hospitalization, and all of that. All right, and then type of treatment that he received for his main non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis was stem cell transplant, chemotherapy, radiation, and then other, as in studies. So I put they conducted a lot of studies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll say numerous studies.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's had a lot.
Yeah. All right, and then what type of treatment did... you get for the secondary diagnosis is chemotherapy and radiation. Your main address, your primary address is 4740 Columbine Street in Denver, Colorado, 80216.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the emergency contact. Oh, yeah, you know what, since this is up to you, too, this will be the last thing we ask you. I know it took a long time, so thanks for sticking with me. Did you want to put an emergency contact different than yourself, or did you want to just leave it like that?
No, we could just leave it at that.
Okay, good, good. Just wanted to make sure. All right, so that's everything. Let me go ahead and submit this. Give me one moment. And then I'm just going to proofread the Have you ever done a DocuSign?
Have I ever what?
Oh, have you ever completed a DocuSign? I use it for my taxes every year. My tax guy sends it to me, so it's pretty much how a lot of people send forms online.
Oh, yeah, like on the email, through the email?
Yeah, it's a link to the DocuSign website. It's one of the mainstream sites, the biggest sites. Okay, good, good.
Yeah,
just
I can have my
sure.
daughter help me with that, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Give me one second.
And how long does this take, like, or does it, like, say that a person is doing this, and how long do they take for to see results?
You know,
years
what?
Like years and years.
I've heard a lot of different things. I have heard that before. I have heard quicker than that. I'll tell you this: even I wouldn't be allowed to answer that just because with a legal matter like this, like I would say responsible for what I say. I would ask that to the attorneys if you do finish the intake or the retainer right now, give me one second, then we can actually go ahead and get you transferred to them, and then you can ask those right away. If you do need a little bit of help with that and time with that, then, you know, You just have to ask them when you spoke to them, but we should be able to get you there so that you can at least ask them the more complicated questions there that I'm not really qualified to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, I'm reading and talking right now, so sorry if I sound a little discombobulated here. One sec. Okay, there we go. And you can relax for a minute. I'm just going to make sure that everything is transferred to the okay. document as well as possible. Okay, so far it looks like everything is there. Okay. Okay, so then you should be getting it right now. So it should text it to you and email it to you. Let me know if you got the link there. And it's a link to the DocuSign, so it should be to your specific document there. You just have to kind of check a box that says yes and go through the permissions in the beginning.
Okay, I'm not going to sign anything, though, because I got to let my daughter see all this first.
Sounds good to me. All right, so then if you need help, just wanted to go ahead and offer myself up for any help that you would need with the actual technical part of signing it. I'm going to go ahead and read a quick disclosure, and then I'll let you go on your way. You already have my direct number, so you know how to get a hold of me. And then, and if she gives you your blessing, then they're going to be able to answer a little more of the complicated questions. You'll also be able to see everything.
Okay, so were you talking about like a retainer? Like, well, we're going to have to pay for this?
No, it's paid on contingency, right? So it'll show you the split on there, too. So, yeah, you don't have to pay anything up front. There would be no risk. So if something did fall through, it's not going to be, you know, you're shelling out thousands of dollars and then all of a sudden you're in a worse spot than you were before. It's not like that. It's only pretty much only if you win do they get paid. So they are shouldering the risk there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'll read you a quick question. And by the way, I'm only a text away. If you have any concerns or questions about anything, just let me know. If I can't answer it, I can always get my, you know, supervisors to help me out with anything. But we are here to help, you know, and that's about it. Let me go ahead and read you this, and then we'll wrap this up. So just want to make sure you know what to expect next. While they're working on your claim, the law firm will be – this is post signing the retainer, okay? So when they're working on your claim, the law firm will be reaching out a lot to finalize your –
Okay. All right.
Got the little ones there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay. And so, when you finish the retainer, while they're working on your claim, the law firm will be reaching out a lot to finalize the claim. I'll be calling you after you finish that, right? And get you connected. I'll be calling you to actually pass
you along.
So
what am I signing?
Let me go ahead and finish. Just hold that thought. Let me finish this little script, and then I'll be less of a robot, and then we'll go ahead and do that, okay? Just hold that thought. It's a retainer. You'll see it. It's already in your possession. You could even look through it and thumb through it right now while you're talking to me. Okay? So while they're working on your claim, right, the law firm will be reaching out a lot to finalize your claim. I'll be calling you. Granted, you finished the retainer. It'll go through quality assurance. I'll be calling you shortly after that once it files or goes through QA. And then I'm going to go ahead and transfer you to them directly. That way you can actually speak to them and have a conversation. I'll introduce you. They may go over a lot of the same questions that we discussed today. This is completely normal. It's part of their process to confirm all the details and ensure everything is accurate for your case. They may also need you to sign additional forms like a medical release so they can collect the records to strengthen your claim. If you see any paperwork from them, be sure to review it and return it as soon as possible to keep everything moving smoothly. Since this is a mass lawsuit, these extra steps are standard practice. And we want to make sure you're fully prepared. If you don't hear from them, after you sign the retainer for about, 24 to 48 hours, then I highly recommend giving them a call directly to follow up. I'm also great at tying up the loose ends. I'm always a resource. You can call me. You can text me. I'm always happy to help you out with that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and that really is everything. Do you have any other questions for me right now while you have me on the hook?
No, I'm just going to have my daughter look over this and then we'll sign it and then you should be able to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. When you sign it, just give me a text. That way I could just confirm that everything looks good and, you know how the internet can be sometimes. So I think that's about it. Just let me know if you need any help, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a good rest of your day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.